This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, more than 10 million Ethiopians go hungry as they deal with their worst drought in three decades. And Niger's track record of non-violence bodes well for crucial upcoming elections, says the UN's top official in West Africa. But first, authorities in Benin have been urged to tackle what UN human rights experts are calling inhumane conditions in one of the country's main prisons, Abomey. A delegation of experts has just returned from a visit to Benin, where they inspected a number of detention centres without any prior warning. Now they're urging the government to tackle chronic overcrowding to alleviate the suffering of detainees and improve overall conditions. Victor Madrigal-Bolos, the head of the UN Subcommittee on the Prevention of Torture, who led the Benin delegation, has been speaking to Alpha Diallo.
I can tell you that we were a range of findings that go from being extremely worried about certain situations in prisons, for example, the prison of Abomey, where persons are actually in conditions that are, as the delegation found, inhumane, with great lacks of infrastructure and resources. And we have advised and urged the government to take immediate action in this relation.
Are they action to fight against prison overcrowding?
Yes, and the government certainly has the capacity and a stated willingness to carry out reform. For example, the prison in Cotonou has experienced a very, very significant reduction in the number of persons that are housed there. So there is proof that actually the government is able to carry out reform in this sense.
You talk about the prison in Abomey, Cotonou, but where did you find shocking and inhuman condition, or it's a case across the country?
That is specifically in the prison of Abomey, where a finding was made to the respect that immediate action must be taken to remedy the situation in which people are housed right now.
And what are the urgent action must be taken?
No individual action will have a lasting and systemic effect. In relation to prison overcrowding, it's a number of actions that have to be taken in a coordinated way. That includes usually legal reform, the adoption of penitentiary policies, and criminal policies of the state. So a number of those actions taken jointly can create lasting reform in the way people are treated in detention.
And have you received report or testimonies of detainees being tortured?
The IRCT, as I mentioned to you, works in the realm of confidentiality. So we don't actually disclose particular findings. But what I can confirm is that police brutality is not one of the main axes of concern of our delegation.
But what did the authorities of Benin tell you regarding the situation of the prison in Benin?
The authorities have expressed repeatedly their willingness to actually tackle the situation. They are facing quite significant challenges when it comes to an infrastructure that is very old and lacking, and the results of old policies of incarceration.
More than 10 million people in Ethiopia are going hungry as the country faces its worst drought in three decades. The situation was brought on by the El Niño weather event, which has caused crop failures and decimated livestock herds. The UN Food and Agriculture Organization has devised a $50 million plan to help farmers, pastoralists and households restore production. Sandra Ferrari spoke to Pierre Vautier, FAO's surge response team leader in Ethiopia, who's based in the capital, Addis Ababa.
The situation for the crop and the livestock is very, very concerning. Production dropped by 50 to 90% in some area, in particular in the eastern region. Unfortunately, the 2016 perspective is still very concerning because after two consecutive seasons of failed crops, the success of the next cropping season will be critical.
What does the response plan include?
The FAO response plan aims at complementing the response from the government and NGOs in the field. Currently, the FAO response plan is planned to assist farmers for 18 months, and it is divided in four main actions. The first one is to assist the crop production So we'll distribute seeds to the population before the planting season. But it's also in order to reduce the food gap and try to develop some small-scale irrigation in order to help the families wherever the water is accessible to improve their production. FAO is aiming to assist pastoralists, so livestock keepers, in order to protect their co-breeding animals. What we want to do is to increase the access to animal feed by supporting the feed productions, but also helping the pastoralists to access to more feed which is available within the country. The third pillar is going to help the coordination. So having all the NGOs, the government and FAO working all together in order to have the maximum impact in the country. The fourth pillar, which is maybe one of the most important, is to strengthen the livelihoods of 41,000 households for them to get better prepared for the future shock. Unfortunately, what we fear is, in fact, the El Niño episode may come back and may be also very strong like it was in 2015 and it is in 2016.
What are your concerns if the funding doesn't come through?
Well, at the moment, the government is really mobilizing a lot of resources by itself to tackle the crisis. In fact, it's one of the few countries in the world was really trying to tackle its own problems. And if we are not helping them, it's giving a very bad sign. If you are not helping the population to produce their own food and protect their own livelihood resources, it will translate in more dependency from external food aid. On top of that, if the food is not available in the country, if the livelihood is not protected from the population, this population will move, they will emigrate. So in fact, it will be for this population a crisis because they will leave their country in order to a better livelihood elsewhere. And this is a main concern.
Hopes are high for a peaceful vote next month in Niger, thanks to a strong tradition of holding non-violent, credible elections. That's the assessment of Mohamed Ibn Chambas, head of the UN Office for West Africa. Niger's president, Mahamadou Issoufou, is seeking a second consecutive term. His challengers include the former Speaker of the National Assembly, Hama Amadou, currently in jail for baby trafficking charges. Sige Shiforor asked Mr. Ibn Chambas about the upcoming vote and his recent visit to the country.
I am hopeful that the vote will be peaceful because, one, Niger has a tradition of holding non-violent, credible elections. Secondly, Niger has very strong election management institutions. Let me be quick to add that there is the issue of one of the leading candidates, if I can put it that way, but he is a principal opposition figure in the person of former Speaker of National Assembly, Hama Amadou, who remains in jail on criminal charges, which have not yet gone to trial. And also we are hearing now on allegations of involvement in a coup d'etat, which also have not gone to trial.
Presumably during your stay in Niger, you talked about this particular issue of this opposition figure. Did you have any hopes, maybe, that he would be released or that at least he'll be able to run as a candidate?
Yes, we took this issue up with the authorities, but also with the coup constitutionnel, which has the final say on who can be a candidate. I left the meeting feeling that he will be allowed to participate because I was told that under Nigerian law, as is the case universally, one is innocent until they are proven guilty. So as long as the case has not gone to trial, I got the understanding that there was no basis to exclude him. And I'm happy that the Constitutional Court has allowed him to be a candidate. The second issue is more complicated because these are criminal charges and it is under the ambit of the appeals court. In the work we do, one of the areas which is most difficult to intervene, even in a quiet way, is the judicial process.
But just to clarify, for now, he is still behind bars.
Oh, yes. He has been refused bail. And my understanding is that he has said that he will not appeal against it. And his party has indicated that that will not stop them. Legally, constitutionally, it does not stop them from campaigning for him. And of course, good luck to them as to all the other candidates in Niger. Let the people have the final say-so in determining who will be their leader.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org. And we're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.